Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, radio listeners. This is Olivia Morris Freeland, one of the leaders here at Urban Glory Campaigns. You are in for a treat this morning. Reverend Freeland is going to come speak to you in a dynamic message, continuing in the series he's currently on. So get your notebooks, get your pens. Make sure you have your word next to you, whether it's on your iPad or it's traditionally in printed form. Make sure you have your Bible with you and follow him in this dynamic word. Here's Reverend Freeland.
Oh, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. I was glad. It's a wonderful Sunday morning, and I pray that on your way to your place of worship, if you have a worship today, you might have worship last night. I pray that you would have an experience and a encounter with the Holy Spirit. If you have your notebooks, I want to go over this, the reality of our new humanity. And this specific lesson is designed for individuals already acquainted with the Scripture. So, and those who recognize their calling for the church and or leadership position. If you don't, if this doesn't fit your mode of focus, don't be discouraged. Just take more detailed notes than usual. Amen. And we'll take it from there. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make bold and known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and the liberation of thought as you make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the people's ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church and the Father and everything that shall be accomplished. And reveal, you be glorified, for it is in the name of Jesus that we do pray and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In this particular lesson, I want to go over the concept behind new creation reality, which is existing in the benefits of our redemption. So I want to talk about that a little bit, redemption. Existing in the benefit of our redemption. And this is a supplement teaching to help prep for the continuation of this particular teaching. Of course, we have looking at the last lesson was coined a crash course in Christian humanity, but we want to exist in our new humanity. We want to exist in the benefits we want to exist in the benefits of our redemption, which means there's certain things that you need to understand. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says, this is our concept, for he himself is our peace. And peace, now I want you to understand this. Peace in the Bible is given in several connotations. The connotation in Ephesians chapter 2 and in John chapter 15 and 16 all play a very vital role when we talk about peace. You may think, have you ever heard, when you hear Miss Universe or Miss USA, they'll say for world hunger and world peace. And that is not the peace that the scriptures indicate of all. But the peace is actually the fulfillment of God's plan. I want you to understand this. When we talk about peace, it's the fulfillment of God's plan restoration completed, of the effect of his restoration completed in us. Because when we say, peace, you'll think that it's just a calm situation. He is the one that achieves this fulfillment in existing in the reality. That's that factor, because when we say he is our peace, and I want you to understand this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles reconciling and becoming a church, because this was the letters were written to the church so that they would know how to operate. And at this particular time, God was destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside, aside in its flesh the law and its regulations. His purpose was to create himself one new humanity. Now, we know that the new humanity was a spiritual, to know no man after the flesh, if any man be in Christ. Our humanity is in Christ. Is in Christ. In him we move, we live, we have our being. And it says, look, out of the two, thus making peace. So for he himself is our peace. He's the restoring, fulfilling place where all the benefits pertaining to God become reality. The peace part is the reality of God present, the reality of God's provision, the reality of God's promises known to you. And if you think peace is just a salutation or a state of calmness, then you won't really receive the benefit. You won't know that when he's talking about he is our peace and then he makes peace, you'll be thinking he's talking the same words, but he's not. So I didn't say that in the last lesson, and that's why we have these other lessons to kind of supplement. But in operating in our new humanity, we have to. We have to, as believers, be confident in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk about a little bit. I want to refresh us on understanding what it means to be redeemed, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both them through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Now, there's an important statement I said in the last lesson that I want to go over. And because of praise the Lord. Three scriptures to engage the process of new creation I gave you. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Galatians 6:15, and John 1:1-12. Right? The new humanity is a revelation of our new creation. It's another synonym of the kingdom of God, the greatest spiritual awakening, the children of God manifesting maturity in the things of God. And Romans 8 affirms this, the whole world are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, so we see that it affirms this, and these things working in them, working for them, through the love of God, are called those who are all things working together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, plays into this role. We talked about how the new humanity is awakened through a new culture of faith in Christ, which is a result to live out our renewed life and by the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. New covenant benefits and new characteristics called unity in the Spirit. But that is not going to awaken and be made real until the reality hits that what Jesus completed on the cross caused these things to occur. Now, in the church of Ephesus, where we see this passage, not only are there threads of theology revealed, but the unfolding of a divine agenda to unite the church beyond nationality. Redemptive awakening, reconciliation. Now, reconciliation. Redemptive, redemption, awaken, reconciliation. Okay? So when I talk about redemption, what am I talking about? Redemption is the state of God's original idea for his children, his offspring. His sense of freedom from the source of as a source of restoration to position humanity in divine righteousness. So redemptive gives a foundation of a divine preservance designed by God to give and afford a quality of life. If that is not happening, then you're not going to have confidence in the power of the gospel, the person of the gospel, the purpose of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, and the promise of the gospel. So you need to know what was provided, you know, because just like we use the statement and we've been saying this all year, if Christ is Jesus' last name only in perception, you won't know that he has power to change your life. But if you know he has power to change your life, then you'll live and act accordingly. Amen? Now, redemption will awaken belief and confidence in the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. It is our his work, what Jesus came to do, that affords us confidence. Now, what is that work that he came to do? Jesus came to give us five things: divine dependence, where we cast all our cares on the Lord because he cares for us; divine identity; divine authority; divine competence; and divine character. It was God's intention for mankind to experience the life and love through an altered renewal God gave in his original plan. See, these concepts have to be understood. That's why I'm taking my time this morning, because on Thursday we're going to be going into another dimension of this teaching, and this is a little more advanced than normal, because I want you to understand. Here, you can't go to transform your perspective without having a transformed principle. And the principle that we base all of our transformations on is Christ's redemptive work. You can't get into Christ's redemptive work or you can't enter into this new humanity without understanding. Well, the reason why is Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, and what else? And that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, right? For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that means you have to confess in your mouth, you have to believe in your heart. Believe what? That God raised him from the dead. It is that purpose alone which we have confidence. If he can raise Christ from the dead in his circumstances, he can look and cause him to exist and communicate to people 40 days after he was raised, to ascend back on the right hand of the Father, giving him all authority and achieving what he achieved at Christ. My situations in life can be taken care of because my situation doesn't compare to the power to be raised from the dead. We run over these claims, but let me tell you, when the nature of God is insecure and the new creation realities is without you, redemptive understanding, redemptive rights not being understood, you got a believer trying to exist in a confidence that they're not prepared for because they don't know what Christ has done. And if you don't know that he's giving you dependence so that you're not bound to the law, if you don't have identity, but you're found in him, if you don't know that you've been authorized and given authority, and you have competence, not only just a superficial claim to something you don't have by faith, but faith is an intelligence that connects to doing things and exploits in God, because greater work shall you do because he goes to the Father. If you don't know that you have character, The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body. If you don't know those things, then the reality of your redemption isn't really secure. And if that's not, you're not existing in any humanity. You're existing in the field. And every Christian believer, I said this in a teaching years ago, needs several things in order to exist confidently as a Christian. They need an experience or an encounter with the supernatural. That's number one. Always. They need an encounter with the supernatural. They need an example, and they need an enlightenment of the mind. And if those things don't happen, then something's wrong. And see, when we're talking about faith, and this is while when I started saying that God gives us divine competence, I use the word faith as the means, because faith is first revealed in Scripture as competence. It's the intelligence of God expressed through humanity, which makes us coherent to His order. It gives us context in the Scripture, and then it also gives us the courageousness to walk this out in our life. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is a coherent approach to living godly. But you need an encounter with the supernatural. You can't religiously take on terms and think you got it just because some of you heard it a few times. You got to know what you believe in and be fully persuaded of those things, because the enemy will try to rob you of what you should really have. Hallelujah. The greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. And that's why we talked in the last lesson about learning this newness niche. But you got to exist in understanding, you got to have confidence in the redemptive work that Jesus has brought. And there are five things that redemption will alter. Number one, it will alter your religion. When you really have an encounter with redemption, it alters your religion. It alters your religion. Expand your God complex. You know, I was talking about that a few weeks ago, transforming the God complex. Let God take you to places that He has ordained and designed for your life. And He can only do that when you alter your religion. Secondly, you got to alter your rules of conduct. Because some things coined even under religion that is supposed to be correct is incorrect because it doesn't meet the requirement. It doesn't meet the connection. Hallelujah. It doesn't meet the intent of God's heart. God becomes all things to all people that He might win few. And if you're stuck on your religion and you're trying to express your redemption, you may miss out on some things that God has for you in unconventional means and ways. Hallelujah. So we have to be mindful of that. Also, restrictions. Redemption will teach you what is the difference between a restraint and a restriction. Because sometimes people think that because they can do what they should do, but all things are expedient, but all things are not beneficial. All things are lawful, but all things are not beneficial in this new way. So there's some things we just don't do. I never forget a preacher one time, I was joking about this the other day. He said, well, you know, when it came to the wine, the Bible said preachers can't even be given a strong drink anyway. But he said, well, you can use a wine for medicinal purposes. No, you need to know what it will do. It will challenge. Redemption will give you restrictions, even though there have been rules of conduct and religion has misaligned and appropriated these things. See, some of you don't need no alcohol in your system because you have so much alcohol in your system. Just the smell of it might take you to a place, depending on where you are in God. And even with the things spiritually, You know, I'll never forget, you know, someone was like, well, the Holy Spirit tells me to put on everything. If that's where you're at, then you need to develop obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's the lesson that he's trying to give you. It ain't for everybody, because there comes a point in your time where you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you what color to wear one day. I mean, there's seasonal calendars if you want to be culturally correct. But then there's a point that the Holy Spirit can just say, hey, I need you to press in this season. I need you to refrain from this in this season. And you should be flexible enough. But that comes with the reality of your redemption. If you know Jesus paid the price and he had to do certain things so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, in your life you might have to do certain things so that the scriptures might be revealed. And then he's going to awaken you to rights. And rights are more powerful. Rights are probably the most misunderstood thing. You know, people always claim they know their rights, but I wonder if they really do know their rights. You know, rights are merited upon the righteous, which means you have to understand what righteousness is to really identify when a right is not being granted. You got to know what it means to exist in a righteous state. And when we talk about redemptive rights, you got to know what really living and existing in your redemption is in order to receive those rights and also those resolves, number five. So the thing that redemption will alter is your religion, your rules of conduct, your restrictions, your rights, and your resolves. Redemption demands we reflect on the reality, on reality before condemnation. And our reality is here with Christ in God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 today. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I gave you scriptures. Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man, known the blessed man. 1 Peter 2:9, you are chosen, the chosen man. In 100, let you know that God made you. There's God had a design for mankind. And in Mark 4:11 says, we are entrusted with the mysteries. Once we're born again, we are entrusted with the mysteries that are credited to God. And then in John, it tells us the role of the Holy Spirit, John 15 tells us the role of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to live the Christian life. And it shows us what the Holy Spirit is set to do. Now here in redemption, we know that Jesus is the reason behind redemption. Jesus' assignment was to complete and fulfill all righteousness so that we could obtain the righteousness by faith in him. And faith meaning we act on what we believe. We believe that Jesus is Lord. When we say Jesus is Lord, he is ruler, controller, and sustainer. And with him being ruler, controller, and sustainer, he gives us access to God. But he also breaks down hostility with other people, so that with the other people that may not be like us, so that we can be identified as new creations in him, meaning that we should be able to exist around other people, develop relationships with other people. Here's the message. Here's the message. All things pertaining to relationship with God will produce reconciliation with mankind. You cannot grow in the things of God and not grow in your existence with other people. Matter of fact, your compassion toward other people will be enhanced because of your encounter with God, because you knew what it took for you to get aligned with God. Your capacity to forgive others, and your capacity to love others, and your capacity to express the same experiences that you have with God on others will awaken because of you being encountered with God. Hallelujah. My Lord. Let's go to Ephesians. I'm almost out of time anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Got so happy I lost my point in 1 through 5. It says, listen, let's start at verse 2. But you can write down, you know, of course, Paul wrote it in verse 1. But verse 2 says, grace and peace be unto you, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus gives us access. Redemption demands a reflect on the reality before condemnation. We have been found in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to be a praise of the glory of his grace, wherein we are made accepted in the beloved. So we understand that redemption gives us reality with God. It magnifies the God of our salvation. It meditates on his written plan. It makes us analyze our own theology, how we connect to God, how we learn God's logic, and we measure things by truth so that we can master his knowledge, so that we can make sense of what we have. And that's what we want to do in this. We want to affirm this. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is the power that he has resides through his spirit, that unites us, that predestinates us to the adoption of the children of God through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. So that we, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, should be holy and without blame before him in the love of God. So in other words, all of this is connecting us into the power of the gospel, the person of the gospel, the purpose of the gospel, and of the gospel, and the promise of the gospel. The promise is we don't exist in this type of reality. This is the newness. And if we don't learn this myth, we're going to have challenges. Now, we must learn our spirit's ability. And the only way we're going to learn it is to look at the scriptures for greater meaning, to let the life come to light by the Spirit. And that's what he says let's keep reading Ephesians chapter 1. You just got to read this whole book, really. But it says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of the sins according to the riches of his grace, grace is synonymous to the Spirit, wherein he hath abounded toward all of us in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that's the third dispensation, we haven't entered into that, he might gather to himself together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So that's the part that we're still waiting for. Now keep reading. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of his of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be a praise of glory whom he first trusted in Christ. We are. So you got to know who you are. It has to be a reality of your new humanity, and the reality of your new humanity will be affirmed in understanding your redemptive history. your redemptive history saying that you've connected to Christ. Christ has given you independence, identity, authority, competence, and character, that it has enabled you to be free and to alter your religion, your rules of conduct, your restrictions, your rights, your resolves, so that in all things you can magnify God, the God of your salvation, meditate on what he's written to you, make analyzations about your theology and measure things by truth so that you can master his knowledge and become and make sense of all that he has for you. Now, when you do that, you look at the scriptures for the greater, you let the life come to the light, and you listen to the voice of God behind what is being said versus what is said, not leaning to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging him so that he can direct your path. And then you learn through a spiritual lens to let God be God and let everybody else be a liar. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about developing a redemptive point of view on God's predestinated plan for us so that we can experience this new humanity. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm never out of context. Thursday, we're going to pick it up a whole nother notch and go even faster. But the sake of this is that so many times we cater to the new believer that we just take our time. I mean, and we want people to believe, yes. But there's some starving, seasoned saints. And y'all need some food, too. And we're going to make certain that this ministry has a balanced approach to be able to minister to not only the babe in Christ, but those that are maturing in the things of God. And in this, redemption is what gives us reality. Our redemption is what gives us reality. And for the Christian that's been there for a while, a reason why a lot of things are not really sparking up like you want them to spark up and you're not feeling the effect of his effects is because you really don't stand on confidence in what he's really done for you. Because redemption gives a foundation of a divine perspective on God's divine design for a quality life. A quality life. And if you don't and if you go after quantity in life, then the things that are supposed to be qualified through his quality won't come to pass. And somebody has to be able to show you that it's not always about you. It's a great, he has a greater and bigger picture in mind. So sometimes you got to transform your God complex. You got to take time to change your target, your perspective, find out where it's at. Take a trek of faith, and then you got to allow yourself to be transfigured and transformed in his presence. So that way, when that things occur, you can exist as a new humanity. You can exist in the newness of life. See, the New Testament was written to bring additional information to the covenant that existed, and correction to the corruption that was in the proclaimed covenant, and actually restore the covenant by fulfilling it, not destroying it, but to fulfill it, and it was fulfilled through Christ's work at Calvary. So that means everything done after Calvary, the same potential that those people that were walking in the scriptures existed in, we have that same opportunity. We have that same access, but we will never benefit from it if we don't know it, because see, God writes laws on our hearts and our minds. So we first have to find the faith that has competence. Versus looking for the faith of fortune, versus looking for the fads of religion and culture. We got to find the faith that connects to God so that we're just not doing things without really understanding. Or we're not just doing things for the form of godliness without experiencing the power that is accustomed to anything that's pertaining to God. Because God is power. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. So if it's not affecting your life, there's no need to proclaim it to somebody else because they already know. They know it's not working for you. Faith must be learned, but it also must be lived, and you must know its lesson. and in knowing its lesson, it first begins with, what did Jesus really do? What did Jesus really do? He didn't just get up on some cross to die to become a savior or have a hero complex. He gave us access to God by giving, renewing what should be right in reality and saying, here, I lived it, you can live it too. And greater works will you do because I'm in you. You can do all things through Christ. Every once in a while, we have to review these things which we have a new humanity out of two making peace. See, some of y'all, you know, you think it's just resolving. You know, you talk about, yeah, I'm going to give you some peace. I'm just going to calm you down. Calming you down is not peace. Calming you down is calming you down. But you can get that through the Spirit, through self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, if you allow the Spirit to have access in you, He'll produce self-control in your life. Self-control is not a measure of peace. If that was just the message of it, then all after you got the Holy Ghost, that's all you needed. But no, you know, there's another stake. There's another state where the fulfillment of God's plan can become reality, and that is when redemption, righteousness, restoration, reconciliation all exist in our commonality, in our day-to-day walk. And this is stuff you ain't get in church, because in church we're too busy focusing on minor stuff without mastering the message that we've been entrusted with. And the one thing I like about the reality of our new humanity, this revelation in the new creation study, is that it forces you to say, I really know if my plan for God and my plan for with God and my relationship with God is secure, because every time you talk about a relationship with us, immediately it concludes with us expressing it to someone else. And the statistics are still out there on the church community that we don't know how to evangelize to the world. We don't know how to relate to one another. We're so busy fighting one another over politics within the church and religion that we really have lost sight. The part of the resurrecting work is resurrecting our conscience to things that God cares for greater than what we care for. And He cares that people are saved, that cultures are united, that conflicts are resolved through Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for giving us greater emphasis on the same picture that you painted years ago. The church has been entrusted with mysteries, things that you want to make known in time, that you've hidden so that we can qualify and live it, so when it's expressed, people will say, what must? I thank you that old conditions are being driven to death, and new conditions are driven to life in us, through us, with us, to us, for other people, for the future. God, I thank you for what you've done through Jesus, that you've given us access and freedom to exist in a restorative world place so that we can have confidence as your children. Give us this day, we thank you for our daily bread. And Father, I thank you that as we continue this study, people will grow into this reality of our new humanity, one with God, one with your intent, one with one another. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. I trust that whatever you set to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. Go to church if you haven't been to church. Find a place to worship. Go online and study the Word of God. Download our episodes and be blessed. Continue to listen to the broadcast. Thursday, we're continuing on the reality of our new humanity, altering creation's imprints with enhanced theology. God bless you, and look forward to listening, learning more with you on this journey of faith. God bless you, and good night.